I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and today I am probably going to get schooled and taught a thing or two because I may not be enunciating or inflecting or whatever it may be with my voice. But we've got Cynthia Zai, who is a voice coach and an absolute expert when it comes to helping people, not just where she's from, but all around the world, multiple different countries. She's spoken from stages and helped people speak with a more powerful voice, become a more engaging and a more confident speaker. So it's an absolute honor and really excited to have Cynthia. So welcome to the show.
Yay, I'm excited to be on the show.
So, I mean, we've all got our own journey. It's really interesting hearing different people's journeys on how they became. Yeah, it's not like you're sitting there and you're 6 years old and your parents are like, Cynthia, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're like, I think I want to be a voice coach and travel the world and help people and do things like that. So how did it all kind of come together with you to get to where you are at the moment?
Sure. When I was 6 years old, so when I was asked this question, I said I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So today, what I do kind of related to teaching. And why I decided to do the voice is because that, you know, you've heard of this saying that we teach the things that we needed to learn the most.
Yeah.
And voice was one of the areas that I needed to learn the most when I graduated from college. And that was my first job, I realized the importance of the voice. And I was not heard. I was not assertive.
Yep.
So that's where I went on the journey to develop my own voice.
And where were the first steps in taking that journey? I mean, again, it's still a thing that I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with. And I'm sure with the people that you work with, and then there's a lot of people who are and were where you are, in the sense like, mm-hmm. I need to be heard. I've got a message. I've got, you know, I'm an expert. I've got authority in some space, but people just aren't hearing me. I'm the best kept secret, all the way up to someone who's, you know, this confident, charismatic speaker, but still maybe leaving, you know, 10, 15, 20% impactfulness, if that's even a word, on the table, because they're getting up and delivering a keynote presentation or delivering to their team, and yeah, they're not maximizing their voice. So how did you, I guess, start that journey to start trying to find your voice? Because I'm sure there's confidence as part of it. And
for me, you know, because at the time, before actually I even thought about working on voice, I did perform in singing.
Yep.
And also I've learned with radio stations and those voice actors. But still that I wasn't able to project my own voice. And in the beginning, I was thinking it's probably more about the personality, because I was, and I still am, an introvert. But yeah. Now I'm a happy introvert.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the personality that I needed to be more outgoing. Mm. So what I started with was all kinds of self-improvement workshops, self-improvement programs.
Yep.
And that's where I started. So as I started to go along, that's where I started to meet different teachers, like teachers in somatics, the body, teachers in acting. And so I worked with all kinds of things that helped me in many ways shaped my own voice. Not only just the outer voice, the physical voice, but also the inner voice. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's actually a holistic way of me improving myself.
Yeah.
And what actually came to mind to do voice teaching, voice coaching, was that when I was doing my last job, which was training people on communication leadership, that's where people started to ask me about my voice. And because over the years, with all kinds of training, my voice, in a way, in the deeper range.
Yeah.
So there are people asking me, they said, how can I develop a deep voice? And for them, it was for leadership.
Yep.
So that's where I realized, oh, okay, looks like that they are people looking for developing their voice. So when I started to decide to go out and start something on my own, that's where I started, decided to do.
Yeah, nice. I mean, what I find really interesting is a good point that you brought up is the misconception of introverts and extroverts when it comes to presentation. Yes. I'm a big follower and fan of Tim Ferriss, the 4-Hour Workweek author, and he's a pretty self-proclaimed introvert. Okay, he said he gets up and gives a keynote presentation and then he's exhausted. And the hardest bit of the presentation is afterwards networking with everybody who's listened. He's like, it drains the energy out of him. He just wants to go and sit and chill and be by himself. Whereas, say someone like myself, I'm quite extroverted and I get re-energized after the event, talking to everybody. And yeah, I love having that conversational side of things. And yeah, when it comes to the actual speaking side of things it doesn't matter if you're introverted or extroverted. I think personally, there's pros and cons with both. Is a lot of extroverts will get off topic. They'll talk too much about a particular thing. They might come across as confident, but it doesn't mean their message is impactful if it's not packaged in the right way. And I think it's a powerful part of it. So let's dive in. I mean, you've already touched on a few things: the internal voice, the external voice, that holistic approach. People who, first off, I guess let's define what would people out there looking to improve their voice. What are the signs or the reasons why they'd want to improve their voice? And I guess highlighting to them, this is potential for reasons that you might want to improve your voice.
So most people came to me was because that they were giving a speech and then they realized that their voice is not powerful enough. It doesn't project this kind of authority that they have. So that was one of the main reasons that they came to me.
Yep.
And then they realize, or either their voice is monotonous, or for some of my extroverted clients, they speak too fast. Mm. And then they realize that they are also not having the impact that they want. So it's because of the speeches, the presentations that they give, they realize all kinds of voice problems they have.
Yeah. And so let's dive into this internal versus external voice that you're talking about. Run us through, I guess, I think the external voice is potentially understandable, but like if you could run us through what both of those voices look like when it comes to speaking and delivering.
Okay, sure. So the external voice, which is the physical voice, most of times people will realize the problems. For example, when they are nervous, their voice may be trembling.
Yeah.
So that's the external voice that we can work with. And also problems like they are speaking with a very soft voice and people couldn't hear them. So these are all external voice problems. And these are the problems that we can, in a way, we can solve them. And the inner voice is about you know who you are, you know what you can provide, you know what you can offer to the world. You know your value, and your value is also being searched for by people around the world.
Mm.
So that's the inner voice and the outer voice.
So that inner voice is that self-talk and that confidence that you need to have in yourself to then be able to have. If you've got self-doubt and you're talking, it's going to reflect in your external voice. What are the key mistakes or errors you see, not necessarily mistakes, but things that you see people consistently doing when they first come to you in regards to their external voice? Like, are there particular things that people would, majority of them are monotonous, too quiet, aren't using inflection? What sort of things are there that people constantly have?
Okay. So one of the biggest things that people have, the challenges, is that they find when they're nervous or even when they're stressed, their voice starts to tremble. or their throat is tight, or they feel breathless. So this is one of the most common challenges. Yeah. And the other one is, that they find when it's a bigger audience, they cannot project their voice and they have to shout. But some clients, they don't want to shout. So then they have this kind of dilemma. They are not heard, but they don't want to shout. Mm. So that's another common problem. Yeah. And the third one is, it's also quite common that people speak very fast and the audience, they wouldn't be able to follow them.
Yeah, and you get yes. that information overload and things yeah. like that from them. Going back to that first one, trembling or you know tightness through their throat, what are some steps that listeners can, I guess, implement straight away? They can go, hey, that's me with it, you know, all over it. Every time I get up there, I'm trembling or my throat, my chest feels tight. What are some things that people can start implementing straight away to notice a change?
Okay. They may not be able to implement, they will be able to implement, but they may not be able to see a big change.
Yep.
Because first we need to know that why their voice be trembling, because that the voice projection is very shallow. It's mainly coming from the throat area, voice box, throat all the way up. So their whole body is not engaged in the voice projection. And that's why when you're nervous, it's very easy to get all the tension on your throat and your voice will become trembling. Yeah. And to overcome that problem, we are actually shifting the projection. We need to shift the projection from the throat area to the body. So when they're able to do that, they will not, even if they're nervous in the future, they will still be nervous. Yeah. Even if they're nervous, their voice will not be trembling. So that's actually a long-term process for them to change.
Yeah.
But right now, what they can do is, this is actually something that people always do the opposite. So when I notice my clients, I ask them, I said, okay, when your voice is trembling, what did you do? They said, I take another breath in, which is the opposite of what I would suggest. So if the listeners, they have this similar situation, what they can do is to breathe out, not breathe in. When they feel that their voice is going to be trembling, they need to breathe out. Breathe out first, they breathe out the tension first. And then they take a quick and quiet breath in, then they continue to speak.
Yeah. And as I think, yeah, you get into that kind of hyperventilating state if your initial message is, and it just yeah. kind of adds to it. And I think that the other good thing about that tip is it's going to, and I think something that people probably need to understand is, taking a breath is good when you're giving a presentation. You know, as in not necessarily taking it in, but giving that time to, oh, I'm feeling trembling. It allows your audience to take in what you've just said. It allows you to reset and just get your breathing a bit more normalized. And I think it's a great action step for people to be able to make change, because we often do it, and it can even be on a phone call that you'll notice that when you feel uncomfortable. And I've heard a lot of sales coaches say, if you're not confident about what you're selling and the way that you're selling it, it's going to reflect in your voice. The person on the other end of the phone or on the opposite side of it is going to pick up on that. So I think it's a great actionable point. When it comes to the larger audiences and projecting your voice, and that dilemma, you talked about the internal dilemma that some people, they don't want to speak loudly, but they need to speak loudly. How do they overcome it? And then what are some tips on the projection side of things for the voice?
Yes. So what they can do is, number one, of course, that they need to avoid shouting, because shouting is damaging to the vocal cords and also is damaging to the listener's ears. And what they need to do is they need to learn the proper projection, which is, again, shift the projection from the throat by using the body. So what we mean by using the body, one is that they need to learn how to breathe properly. Because most people, I would say that about 92 to 95% of the population are breathing in the wrong way. So they need to learn the proper breathing, which is using the support of the diaphragm. And once the proper breathing becomes a habit, then they will need to learn, now, how do I generate more voice? More voice is more vibration. So they need to create more vibration in the body. Then they will be able to speak with a stronger voice without shouting.
Yeah, it's the people don't realize your diaphragm's a muscle, and it's a really powerful muscle for articulation and for amplification and for all those different things that you, yeah, like you say, you don't have to put more effort in, you just have to use what you've got more effectively.
Yes.
I think that's that. I mean, I'm not sure you'll have a lot more knowledge in this space, but a lot of those ones who have that dilemma of, I don't want to speak louder, it's because they feel like they don't want to shout more so than they don't want to project themselves naturally. They're like, shouting is not natural for me, I don't want to do it, therefore I'm not going to do it. Once you can, I think, if, you know, no doubt you take your clients through that transition of, look, you don't have to shout, you can still be you. You can move on to this next level. We just need to show you how you can breathe more effectively. It's going to make you louder. It's going to make you and allow you to be natural. Like, if you can carry on being yourself with maybe a little bit percent increase, you're going to you're going to make that continued transition. And for our third point, I'm trying to remember what it was. So we had obviously the shouting, and the trembling, and then from the third mistake, what was that again, and how do you get people to overcome that?
Yes, so the third problem is that people tend to speak very fast, and so how do we manage that is not to ask them to tell themselves, oh, slow down. So that's what my clients tried, but it never worked for long. And so what we do is, because you will notice that people who speak fast, one is that their voice is also shallow from here. Two is they are not articulating. So what we do is, one is, again, to help them shift the projection from the throat to the body. So once you can do that, your rate of the speech will be slower. At the same time, they are also working on articulating, not articulating every word. Not every word needs to be articulated. They need to articulate those key words in the sentences. So when they are able to do that, their message is clearer, their rate of the speech is slower, and also they bring out more impact.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, because I know it's something that the less prepared I am for a presentation, not as in like sitting there practicing it, but if someone was to say, can you jump up and give an impromptu speech of some sort, I'll verge, particularly being a New Zealander, New Zealanders and Australians, we tend to speak a lot quicker than a lot of Northern Hemisphere countries. And so it's that problem. Plus, when your head's thinking at 100 miles an hour and you're just spitting it out. So, I mean, really, really, really good tips for that. Let's dive into, I guess, what you do. I mean, so you're going... who do you predominantly work with? Are you going into corporations and businesses? Are you working with individuals or small groups? How does it generally look when you're doing things on a day-to-day basis? Okay.
So I work with both individuals and also corporates.
Yep.
So individuals, they are clients based all over the world. And when they are based in where I live, Singapore, that they will come to my office, do face-to-face. But if they're based in other countries, we do it online. So that's a one-to-one. And also there, I do run group programs. There are also people from all over the world. I also speak in corporations for their conferences and also doing training workshops.
Yep. And I guess, I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, if you can, the good thing when you've got that ability to, and I think it's something that I try and promote people, if you're a keynote presenter, try and have a product or service off the back of it. Doesn't have to be a group coaching, but hey, hopefully your organization has got great impact from me delivering at your conference or to your group. It would just be beneficial for your C-level executives for me to come and run a training program, or the sales team who are up there speaking a lot to be able to do that. And then, would your CEO like to work in a more one-on-one space where we can work on their keynote presentations or their pitches or whatever it may be. And it's a good kind of full circle ability to be able to go, I can come and speak at a generalized level to lots, I can come and tailor something to that level, or I can work one-on-one from there. So for people looking, because I mean I know there's a lot of aspiring speakers, and I'm sure some of them will seek you out for the vocal side of things, but with regards to kind of your aspiring speaker looking to get either their first, I'm not sure where you started in it, if it was the keynote presentations or getting into these corporate environments and training, have you got any tips for them to be able to get their first training event or their first keynote presentation that's helped you get into companies or helps you to start that conversation?
Sure. Yeah, so I think I have two tips. One is that for aspiring speakers, start from, they probably have heard this a lot, but this is really how it works and how it worked for me as well, which is to start to give so-called free speeches to associations, to different groups, as many as possible.
Yeah.
So that would be the first one. And that's how I got my engagements, training engagements, speaking engagements, because people saw me speaking in their group, in their association. They said, oh, this is very good. I want you to do it for my company. So that's how it started. And then the second one is that set up their profile online, because now people are searching online all the time. So put up their profile, their website, their social media profiles, and then that will help them to start to get noticed.
It's a couple of really good points, particularly that second one. It's not something I'd necessarily have thought of, but yeah, it's get yourself out there, because, you know, like you say, so-called free, but it's a free chance to get in front of, you know, 20, 50, 100 of your target market. And if you produce and deliver, you know, high quality, it doesn't have to be, you know, densely packed full of information, but just something that's high quality that they can, you know, implement or action, or they can see how it can be beneficial to their team, you know, you're the logical answer, because you're up on stage in front of them as the authority or the figure. So I think those are two awesome.
And and also it is not free speech, because from, I remember, you know, one of my earliest speeches I gave was to a 100 people group. And in that 100 people, not only I got training engagements, but also I got one-to-one coaching clients. Yeah. Even years after I have given that speech, there's still people coming to me. They said, oh, the reason I remember you is because you gave that speech. I said, wow, that was many years ago.
Yeah.
So you never know. Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on paying. And I mean, yeah, it's a lot easier to leverage off somebody else's audience that they already trust than, you know, and I'm not saying it's hard the other way, but it's easier than, hey, I don't know who you are. You're promoting an event. It's a free event or it's a cheap event. And then, yeah, you've got to get people bums on seats. And there's so many more logistics to do that. Whereas, you know, someone introduces you who they trust. And they go, oh, okay, this person must be good. All right, they've given me value as well. Okay, yeah. And again, it's that long game. It's that you don't necessarily remember. You go, oh, maybe one day I'll need voice coaching. And then their business hits a point where they go, I'm doing a lot more speaking engagements now. I need to improve my voice. Who was that person that I saw? It's the only person that I've ever seen about voice coaching. I didn't realize it was a problem until you brought it up and showed that it's somewhere that I could improve. And then, you know, again, like you say, oh, that was years ago, but that years ago was enough that you're the only option if they ever need it. So very, very powerful tips. But I think that's a brilliant place to finish, because I think a lot of people will be able to, the aspiring speakers are going to be able to get something out of this. And I think all of us, you know, regardless of where we are, I know Tony Robbins, he's someone that I follow, and he had to get extensive vocal training because he was the shouter.
Four
12-hour days, 20 times a year, that they said he was going to not be able to be heard because his vocal cords were so smashed. It wasn't until he got voice training. And yeah, he's probably the person who impacts the most people in the world every year. So, I mean, if it's good enough for him, it's definitely good enough for all of us. So thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about you, about what your trainings and your workshops and things like that, where can they go and what can they do?
Mm-hmm. So I would recommend two resources for them. One is that they can go to my website, where they will find tons of free resources to get them started. The other one is my YouTube channel. So I have more than 20,000 plus subscribers, and I'm uploading, sharing videos quite often. They are now, I think it's about over 130 videos there for them to started to get some knowledge, some tips.
Awesome. Well, we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. And if you jump over there, you've got everything that we've talked about, all of those links. Plus, you can grab a free copy of my book. If you cover the shipping, I'll cover the book and I'll get that out to you. But Cynthia, look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a lot myself. I know that many of the listeners will no doubt learn a lot. And I hope that they take you up and find your services to take their voice to another level.
Sure. Thank you.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.